Part 3 of session 94. Let's get here into what I would appropriately call potentiated consciousness. Let's begin. In the last session, we discussed more details about the experience of the mind. Again, at this point in the Law of One, we are in essence studying the archetypical mind, which is through the Tarot, and we have 21 cards that they started studying, and we are on card number 4, which is the experience of the mind. And we already talked about the iconography of the card. We're going to get more into that. And I guess the most important thing for those who are either studying the archetypical mind through the Tarot, and even for those who are not interested in studying the Tarot, but maybe knowing a little bit more as to how the mind works for evolution, personal improvement, or any kind of these mind liberation, whatever we call it, I just simply call it mental clarity. Let's just put it that way. Life is confusing. If life is confusing, then we need clarity. That clarity comes from mind. Mind becoming more crystallized. That gives you clarity. So, call it what you will, that's what we're looking and in the experience that we have daily. How can that improve my mind? Yes? So, whether you are on the extreme of nerd studying the Tarot, or you're simply interested in the clarity of mind that brings this reality, your life, then I hope this is helpful. Okay, so I don't have much of an introduction here because we're coming from the previous questions. We are on question 22 today. That's the first one I have. So question 22, Don says, then prior to the veiling process, that which we call catalyst after the veiling was not catalyst simply because it was not efficiently creating polarity. Because this loading process, you might say, that I have a diagram of catalyst passing through the veil and becoming polarized experience was not in effect. Because the viewing of what we call catalyst by the entity was seen much more clearly as simply an experience of the one creator and not something that was a function of other mind-body-spirit complexes. Would Ra comment on that statement? And they simply say, the concepts discussed seem without significant distortion. And that's their way of saying, what you said is properly phrased, we won't comment any further. There's not much to say here, but I guess this is just a filler from my interpretation. Don is comparing that prior to the veil, again, the veil is what hides the unconscious mind from the conscious mind. So there are unconscious processes to our waking state. Yes? So our waking state only reveals or sees that which is revealed from the unconscious mind, and even then it's very little. So before the veil, you could see the reaction, consequences, the roots of every action, and you didn't see this confusion. So no confusion, no need for catalyst to be a significant portion of the overall experience of the mind-body-spirit complex or the individualized point of consciousness, which is what we are. Veil comes in, then as Don described in his diagram, which he explained in, I believe it was last episode, where it was catalyst penetrating the veil and offering a sort of possibility for enhancing experience. That's what Catalyst does. So that process wasn't in place when the veil was not in place. So what was the experience? Like he describes, there was just a clearly, speaking of clear-minded, the entity was seen much more clearly as simply an experience of the one creator and not something that was a function of other beings, say. So there was this view of unity, of course, or understanding, clear view of unity. And, well, Catalyst wasn't necessary. And thus, experience was not possible. Experience in the sense of an archetypical mind that produces, let's say, the conditions for speeding up of evolution. So contrary to what we might think, third density without the veil would be much more slower than with the veil, because with the veil, then there is an intensification of experience in general, and that experience is for the purpose of evolving. Think about it as, I guess, primitive beings. I think this is a good example. Primitive beings, and I'm talking about the initial DNA that existed. Look at how slowly things evolve on Earth over billions of years. It's very, very slow. How many species did we get at that point? Not many. Now, every year, we're discovering new ones because it's speeding up. Evolution is speeding up. So the intensification of this this experience is what causes evolution. Very interesting, actually, to see it on Earth, too, with animals. I never thought about it until now, but it's an analogy that is worth considering and exploring, contemplating, reflecting on. So, okay, that's the setup for our episode. We're going to continue now with iconography of the card. Don says in question 23, thank you. Then we are expecting in card number 4 to see the result of catalytic action and therefore a greater definition between the dark and the light areas. In this card, we notice that it is more definitely darkly colored in some areas and more white in others, in a general sense, than card number 3, indicating to me that the separation along the two biases has occurred and should occur to follow the blueprint for experience. Could Ra comment on that? Ra says, you are perceptive, O students. So here's where we get into the title of this video, which is Potentiated Consciousness. What's happened? Life is offering catalysts continuously, and the individualized point of consciousness that I represent is meeting that catalyst. But catalyst means that it accelerates a process. It speeds up a reaction, right? So there are two, there's always, say, two components to a reaction, right? And then they meet and they have reaction. Well, that reaction is sped up by catalyst. What are these two components? Consciousness and movement, prana, activity, right? Stillness and movement. So these two meet, and it's supposed to cause a reaction. That reaction is evolution. When this reaction is occurring, but no use of the catalyst is being put in place or in use. Yes, when there is no use of catalyst, then it's kind of slow, right? And we get into cycles and cycles of repeating the same catalyst. So when they meet and there is use of catalyst, then it speeds up. Speeds up what? Evolution. Like I said at the beginning of this video, evolution can be also seen as clarity of mind. The more your mind is clear from that which is not real, then you have evolved. You see clearly. There is knowing. There is knowledge. There is gnosis. Okay? So that's what's happening. Potentiated consciousness is that which meets experience. I'm talking about just regular mundane experience with an E, with an E. Experience with an E, with a lowercase e, I meant. And that produces then, if it's finely processed, because that's catalyst, then we get experience with capital E, yes, which is transcendence, that transcendence of whatever it is that you're meeting. Okay, so that's potentiated consciousness. I'm getting this from the same description actually that Ra gave in session 78 in question 37, when they said that the archetype for experience of mind implies nobility, and this nobility is because, as they say, it is only through the catalyst which has been processed by the potentiated consciousness that experience may ensue. So it is only through the catalyst, right, that experience, lowercase, or catalyst, that has been processed by the potentiated consciousness, right, then experience ensues. So that is the potentiated consciousness. And those, and then it leads to an evolution in mind, which is the whole purpose of the Tarot in its archetypical interpretation. So let's see more about this potentiated consciousness in the next questions. Don says in question 24, the bird in card 3 seems to be now internalized in the center of the entity in card 4, in that it has changed from the flight. Then, now he pauses, he actually pauses and says, change from the flight then has achieved its objective and become a part of, a central part of the experience. Could Ra comment on that? Once again, Ra applauds and says, this perception is correct, O student, but what shall the student find the bird to signify? Now, before we get into the signification, the meaning of the bird, here's where we get a good portion of the meaning of this potentiated consciousness. So let's take a pause there. Don is saying that the bird, the flight, that the bird is present in the center of the entity of card 4, which it is, it's like emblazoned there. It means that now it has taken flight, right? The bird has taken flight. The flight then has achieved its objective and become a part of the experience. Remember in card 1, the bird was caged. And by the bird being caged, it meant that the matrix of the mind is reaching out for that bird to be released. Now, what does it reach? The unconscious mind, potentiator. What does it get? It gets catalyst. Now, if catalyst is not processed, then the bird is not released. That means experience with a capital E is not possible. You have to meet catalyst and process it to a degree that would yield some experience, again with capital E, evolving experience, let's call it. And so if we do this, then the bird is released. What is the bird? Well, we're gonna find out what it means. I'm just gonna get ahead of myself, because these are common things that we see, like for example a square or a box is representative of third density illusion. The bird is always the spirit, right? And it serves also as the idea of messenger, right? Because the spirit is a channel, it's a shuttle in which information comes and goes from intelligent infinity, you see? So these are all ways to describe the process of manifestation of spirit. And so that means that when the bird has taken flight, like it is in card four, then yes, it has become a central part of the experience itself that we are generating or refining or processing. So that's that. And of course, then Ra asks Don, what does the bird mean? And so question 25, Don says, I would guess that the bird signifies that a communication that comes as catalyst, signified in card 3, is accepted by the female and used becomes a portion of the experience. I guess it is accepted by the female and used becomes... Okay, yeah, I read that pretty wrong. I would guess that the bird signifies that a communication that comes as catalyst, signified in card 3, is accepted by the female and used becomes a portion of the experience. I feel like a comma is necessary there. I'm not sure of that at all. Neither am I. Am I in any way correct? In any case, Ra says, that bears little of sense. Which kind of translated into modern slang is like, you have no idea what you're talking about. No. So the bird is not related to the female portion of the card, accepted by the female and used, and then becomes a portion. Now, again, we know that the spirit is always represented as a bird, so there's not much of a riddle there. So what does this mean? And we'll get more into this, I think, in the next questions. We'll see. But this means that, again, the entity in its biases perceives reality in a certain way. That perception of reality can be further refined for a view of unity. This implies that there are biases that look, that process, that integrates reality in distorted ways. Those distortions are towards specific views of separation, and we buy into those. So refining this into the direction of unity is what we would call evolution. In third density, we speak about opening the heart, because the heart is acceptance, unconditional love. So this opening of the heart produces the possibility of accepting reality as it is. That's the positive path, opening the heart. So as we meet the day-to-day catalyst, we are being presented with opportunities to continue to open the heart and see reality as it is, not as we believe it to be. Otherwise, well, we are looking at reality from a stubborn, biased way, meaning that I will only see what I believe to be true and not simply what is. And that's true knowledge. It's very uncomfortable for our thinking mind to simply accept reality as it is, because we want to give meaning to things. We want to give purpose to things. And that's not reality. Reality doesn't have a purpose. Reality doesn't have a definition. It simply is as it is, and you are experiencing it. I know, it sounds disturbing. Very disturbing for some thinking minds that need to have control over things. Well, sorry to disappoint you, thinking mind, but that's not how things work in the universe. You don't figure things out and then they are. They simply are. Then you kind of figure things, and that's just your poetry. You see, the poetry of interpreting reality from your point of view. Okay, opinions of reality. We can only have opinions on reality. We cannot have a definition of reality. That's a very important point. And if you can understand that, you awaken from the slumber of belief systems, which are very personal, by the way. It has very little to do with institutions and sects and cults and things like that. It's totally individual. You have free will. So, rather, I would say you are free will. You don't have free will. Like, it's something that you possess and then somebody can take away. No. You are you. And by a function of being you, you are free will. So, when we meet this catalyst, I think is where I was going to, then there is the possibility of producing this collapse of separation. And so unity ensues. I think we're going to explore this system or dynamic a little bit more, and how experience is yielding evolution or polarization, because in planet Earth, of course, we're experiencing third density, and as a human being, we are polarizing towards the positive or the negative. Let's continue. Question 26. Don says, I'll have to work on that. Then I am guessing that the cross legs of the entity in card 4 have a meaning similar to the cross of the Crux and Sata. Is this correct? It's a beautiful observation. Ra says, this is correct. The cross formed by the living limbs of the image signifies that which is the nature of mind-body-spirit complexes in manifestation within your illusion. There is no experience which is not purchased by effort of some kind, no act of service to self or others which does not bear a price to the entity manifesting commensurate with its purity. All things in manifestation may be seen in one way or another to be offering themselves in order that transformations may take place upon the level appropriate to the action. This paragraph is deeper than I can possibly do honor to, because we are speaking of the foundation of experience itself. And so, we're talking about the recognition by Don, which is absolutely keen. I would never have guessed that by looking at an image and interpreting a Crux and Sata. Yet at the same time, I can speak from my inner knowledge that experience contains, obviously, and I mean experience of life, contains always the fullness of reality. It's not something so deep, actually. In fact, it is so simple that the mind, by the nature of its own activity, shrouds in. Let me say that again. The fullness of the moment is overlooked by the mind by its own nature, because of its own nature, which is to superimpose layers of definitions on reality. Which, again, in this case, I refer to the mind as the thinking mind. But the fullness of experience is there. And so we can see the dynamic of manifestation and expression and unity in the moment. Now, the present moment. There is no other time. It's always now. So everything is contained right now. But yet, Ra does give a sort of description as to this. And so why does the Crux and Sata represent this? Well, to me, the Ankh, or Crux and Sata, same thing, is a depiction of the one in manifestation. I gave that description in, or my interpretation, my definition, my way of seeing it, the poetry of the Crux and Sata in the last session. So if you look at the ending of the last session, the last question actually of the session, session 93, you'll find my interpretation of it. So Ra says, the cross formed by the living limbs of the image signifies that which is the nature of the mind-body-spirit complexes in manifestation within your illusion. Sacrifice is a word that they use in that last session. And that sacrifice is what we do by being. Being is a sacrifice in and of itself. That's why they say there is no experience. There is no experience which is not purchased by effort of some kind. That's the sacrifice. Again, sacrifice sounds very harsh, right? It's a very loaded word. But the sacrifice, you know, is can be seen as, I'm going to dedicate the next hour to meditation. That's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing all the other possibilities for that. Simple as it is. All possibilities are being always sacrificed for what you're doing at the moment. If you see this, you see everything unfold in front of you. So if I decide to play a video game, read a book, watch a show with my family, go for a walk, shower, eat, anything is excluding everything else for the experience of what's happening. I want to leave it as simple as possible so as to not bring so many complexities. I think the raw material is already complex as it is, but just for you to see what that means. Then you can come with your mind and your own inclinations and say, huh, sure, this sacrifice that I'm doing right now, it's not worth it. Or this sacrifice is totally worth it. Then you can start refining your decisions and your choices in life. So to give you an example, if I play video games, which I used to, and I used to dedicate a lot of time to that, I was sacrificing so many other things that weren't, you know, in my field, right, of view. And so it's fine, but then there are other things came into my field of life, and I said I would be sacrificing too much if I just kept playing video games. I would be sacrificing too much, which is this, which I adore and I love doing, and I would feel imbalanced. I wouldn't feel whole. You see, so some things fall away in your life if you become available of the possibilities and what you're sacrificing. And yet, for example, when I do the things that I do right now, I do see the sacrifices that I'm doing, you know, by maybe going out, having fun, doing things. All those are worthy sacrifices for me. So aligning yourself with the true sacrifices, that's what gives you purpose, or gives you direction, refines your direction, rather. I won't even mention Jesus, who is known for the sacrifice for all of our sins, right? That makes a lot of sense. What are our sins? That we do not see reality. Sin is simply missing the mark. You're not looking at reality clearly. Like I said at the beginning of this video, and I'll keep repeating it, you have no mental clarity. If you're sinning, you have no mental clarity. Simple as that. So Jesus was simply, it's not like he wiped all our sins, but he did show in the flesh what it is to be fully committed to clarity of mind, sacrificing even your own self for the message, which is really what I interpret Jesus to be, a messenger of this truth. So again, no act of service to self, right? Even service to self or others will bear some price for the entity manifesting, and it's commensurate with its purity. Commensurate means it's parallel, it's one-to-one, right? So depending on the purity of that which is manifesting and those things that are sacrificed, then that effort will be commensurate, right? All things in manifestation may be seen in one way or another to be offering themselves in order that transformations may take place upon that level appropriate to the action. So let me bring it to even absurd scales, but so you can see the holographic nature of this effort and sacrifice of being. If you look at a carbon atom, as it binds into a specific molecule, right? Let's talk about two, hydrocarbons and carbohydrates. Sounds the same, right? They do two different things. So they are offering themselves into configuration in molecules to produce gasoline or petrol or any of those derivatives. I think I'm saying hydrocarbons. Let me make sure because I know in Spanish. Yes, hidrocarburo, hydrocarbon. Yes, okay. So this is a chemical compound for combustion. You see, but it's not the type of combustion that we humans are ingesting. We ingest carbohydrates, different type of combustion, but appropriate for the human body. Whereas you cannot put bread on your car's tank. You see, the engine would not like that, and your engine would not like gasoline, so please don't do that. So you see what I mean? There is a sacrifice. It's that simple. It's the carbon atom says, it doesn't say, it simply is. You know, it just gets in the proximity of the other atoms and says, yeah, hydrocarbons, yay, that's it, that's me, that's my identity for now. But I'm always a carbon atom. Whereas, you know, the other carbon atom, same thing, but it surrounds itself in an environment with other hydrogens and oxygens, right? It's a party of atoms, and they're just simply configured in a way that looks like carbohydrates. I'm going to feed humans. The other one's going to feed gas tanks or heat. For example, we get most of our heat still from hydrocarbons. So yeah, you know, that's the sacrifice. Now, you think it would be foolish, you know, to extrapolate this to human beings, but it isn't. The same principle. I'm using carbons as elementary particles, but what are carbons? They are energy moving in a specific way. So you can say, well, carbons are energy sacrificed in a specific pattern, whereas hydrogen is the same energy but sacrificed in a specific pattern too. You keep following this and you'll just find that at the end it's just intelligent energy moving in different ways. But there is always a sacrifice. That is the direction in which we move. Reality is moving, and it wants to move in a certain direction. That direction is towards evolution. So all of these movements have a desire, and that desire is, like I said, clarity of mind, because that's what consciousness wants. It's no longer physical movement that it wants. It reaches a certain point in the evolution of itself as human beings, and it finds the open-heartedness of itself and says, I want to move in that direction. So there are some sacrifices there, and that is of awareness. Awareness needs to sacrifice beliefs for knowledge. Ah, it's a worthy sacrifice. That's what Jesus represented to the Gnostics, believe it or not. That's the type of sacrifice. Sacrifice those things that are beliefs into gnosis, into knowledge. All things in manifestation may be seen in one way or another to be offering themselves in order that transformations may take place upon the level appropriate to the action. And upon the level appropriate of that movement, I would say. Let's continue. Don says the bird is within a circle on the front of the entity in card 4. Would that have the same significance as the circular parts of the Crux and Sata? Ra says it is a specialized form of this meaningful shape. It is specialized in great part due to the nature of the crossed legs of manifestation which we have previously discussed. So let's see. Now we're looking at the circular shape in which the bird is emblazoned on the chest of the emperor, which is the name that most people give to card 4 in the tarot. All right, so what did Don say again? He said that it has, he's asking if it would have the same meaning as the circular part of the Crux and Sata. I guess that's the part that Don saw as, oh, okay, so there is a circular shape on the top, and then there is the cross, and the leg comes down, right? The left leg is resting on the ground. It looks like the base of the Crux and Sata. If you're on YouTube, you can see my own, which I'm always carrying, right here, right? So this is the leg, right here at the bottom. Then the legs cross is the cross, and then the circle where the spirit is. I kind of like that. But Ra says it is a specialized form of this meaningful shape. It is specialized in great part due to the nature of the cross legs of manifestation, which we have previously discussed. So, to me, I'm just going to give my interpretation. As I said in the last question of session 93, where I talked about the meaning for me on the Crux and Sata, or the Ankh, there is the circular shape to me describes the Alpha and the Omega, first density and seventh density, and the whole cycle of creation, the whole evolution of being. So that's what it means to me, and the nature of the crossed legs means sacrifice. What is it that we're, what is the first sacrifice in creation? Infinity is sacrificed. Because once you become finite, infinity is no longer available to you. I'm speaking in a language that is very poor to describe this, because I'm talking to you or some being that is sacrificing itself. It's an allegory at best, what I'm using here. But we can see clearly that infinity simply is. It's full of itself. It's nothing else but itself. God is infinite, we say. God has no need for anything. And yet, to experience itself, it needs to sacrifice its own nature, which is infinity, to become finite. That's the first sacrifice. So that, to me, represents this cross, infinity, this little thing at the bottom, right? It's one line, to me represents one, oneness, or non-dual, not one, not two. Depends on your philosophical affiliation to interpret it, but it refers to that, infinity. So infinity, I'm gonna call it the eye of infinity, this little portion at the bottom. The leg, the vertical leg, is the eye of infinity. Then it goes through sacrifice, cross, which means manifestation. Manifestation is always in the finite form. That finite form goes in a circle or circular pattern, a cycle of creation, and it returns back to itself. It's beautiful. I love it. So that's my interpretation, especially because Ra says it is specialized in great part due to the nature of the crossed legs of manifestation. So that's my take. You take it as you will. Let's continue. We're finishing soon. Question 28. Don says, the entity of card 4 wears a strangely shaped skirt. A strangely shaped skirt. Is there a significance to the shape of this skirt? And Ra says, yes. Don says, the skirt is extended toward the left hand, but is somewhat shorter toward the right. There is a black bag hanging from the belt of the entity on the left side. It seems to me that this black bag has a meaning of the acquiring of material possessions of wealth as a part of the left-hand path. Would Ra comment on that? Ra says, although this meaning was not intended by Ra as part of this complex of concepts, we find the interpretation quite acceptable. Then there is a 30-second pause in the recording. And I guess Ra says, well, if you're quiet, I will say the following. I am Ra. As we observe a lull, which is a calm, cessation, in the questioning, we shall take this opportunity to say that the levels of transfer energy dwindles rapidly, and we would offer the opportunity for one more full question at this working, if it is desired. So let's briefly discuss this interpretation of Don about the skirt and the bag specifically, which is what Ra is saying. We didn't mean that, but that's okay. So what do I want to say? Skirt, up to you to interpret it. It seems that by covering more of the left side, then I guess it represents that the left side is more clouded, whereas the right-hand path is more clear. I don't know. And it's pointing to the left, I think Don said. That's, I guess, indicating something on the left-hand path. But like I said, I'm not good at interpretations. Or maybe I am in specific things and not in others. But that's just what I can offer. However, Don emphasized that there is a bag on the left side, right? So that means acquiring things and possessing and all those things, which of course are associated with the left-hand path, which is acquiring, controlling, having, that sort of greed for no reason, yes? So a couple of things here. Yes, that's fine. You know, we can associate the left-hand path with that, with acquiring things. But the other thing is Ra's answer, where they say, again, they said, that's not what we meant, but sure. That means that you can look at a card, and that's the point, you know, to look at things and say, oh, this is what this means to me. Because you already know what the negative and positive paths are. So you can look at, you know, it's a human who is sitting and it's looking at the left because it's more interested in darkness, right? We can say that awareness is more interested in darkness because prior to the veil, it was dull and it was all, it was boring, and now awareness is super excited about darkness. Yeah, you can say that, that's an interpretation. Is it wrong? That's not what Ra intended, but it speaks of this. You know, but if I say, you know, it's looking to the left because the right-hand path is circular and so it goes to the left, it's a little bit more far-fetched. But I guess, sure, that's what you see, that's fine. All things are one, so the left hand is actually the right one and it doesn't matter. I don't know, we can get crazy with these things, but I just wanted to mention that you can look at these things and just go nuts with it. It's all up to you. I'm not interested, though, in those riddles and interpreting. Some people are, and that's great. I have nothing against it. It just doesn't offer much to me, other than looking at the concepts and saying, yeah, that's actually interesting, which is part of what I'm doing in the last portion of this raw material, and I'm happy to do so, too. So, yeah. Wanted to mention those things, and then there is that interesting pause in the channeling, not the channeling, but Ra just kind of, I guess, waited for 30 seconds and said, all right, so if you're not going to ask questions, energy is dwindling, so let's finish it. And although energy is abundant here, at least right now, we have to finish it too. Last question is question 30. And Don says, I would just state that this card, being male, would indicate that as experiences gain, the mind becomes the motivator or that which reaches or does more than the simple experiencer prior to the catalytic action. That is, there is greater tendency for the mind to direct the mind-body-spirit complex. And other than that, I would just ask if there is anything that we can do to make the instrument more comfortable or improve the contacts. So a whole description there about the male being, or the card being male, reaches, more than simple experiences prior to the catalytic action, which is the conscious mind. I'll get to this. Ross says, in the context of your penultimate query, we would suggest that you ponder again the shape of the garment which the image wears. By the way, penultimate is a word that is rarely used in English. In Spanish, we use it a lot. But it refers to the second to last. Such habiliments, meaning a cloth, a dress, a clothing, not a cloth, clothing. Such habiliment is not natural. The shape is significant and is so along the lines of your query. Then they say, the sport group cares well for the instrument. We would ask that care be taken as the instrument has been offered the gift of a distortion towards extreme cold by the entity, or the fifth density, friend, which greets you. So let's get out of the way. The skirts, which is, again, or the clothing that Ra is suggesting, I have no idea what it means, again, open to interpretation for anybody else. The habiliment is not natural. Why is it not natural? I don't know. But that is in response to Don trying to figure out that the male means more of that outreaching in a certain way. I'm not sure, really. But all of this, again, is just the interpretation that Don had and then Ra's suggestion to improve it. I think it's better if we just look at it ourselves and find out, you know, what it means to us. But that's that. If anything, it just illustrates the complexity of interpretation rather than knowing directly. Let's read the final portion, which is always inspiring. Ross says, although you may be less than pleased with the accoutrements, may we say that all was as carefully prepared as each was able. More than that, none can do. Therefore, we thank each for the careful alignments. All is well. We leave you, my friends, in the love and in the light of the one glorious, infinite Creator. Go forth then, rejoicing in the power and in the peace of the one Adonai. I like that sometimes they say one infinite Creator, sometimes they say infinite Creator, but this time they said one glorious infinite Creator. It's beautiful. So, alignments, accoutrements, if I'm pronouncing that appropriately, means the devices that they use there, the candle, the incense, or is it a candle? I forgot. The Bible is one of them. So they say you may be less than pleased with the accoutrements. Everything is aligned well. That's a message for them. They later figure out that those supposed alignments of, you know, moving the incensor a little bit this way or the Bible and so on, they had to do with the alignments of their questions. So, yeah. Conclusions. I'm going back to experience as that which is the important part of what we're living. That experience contains, as Ra said, love. I'm going to actually read a portion if I have it here. Yes. And this is an acceleration toward the law of one. Acceleration is catalyst. Catalyst will provide experience. Okay. So Don asked, this is session 10. This is ages ago. Session 10, Don wanted to know exercises to perform to produce an acceleration toward the law of one. I'm not going to read the whole question or answer, but I'm just going to read you one part. But definitely go to session 10, question 14, and read it all. It's a great exercise. Exercise 1, says Ra for this. This is the most nearly center and usable within your illusion complex. The moment contains love. That is the lesson goal of this illusion or density. The exercise is to consciously seek that love in awareness and understanding distortions. And then they go on to describe how the first attempt to seek love is the cornerstone. Upon then, you will continue to seek more love within that moment. And that continuous seeking of love upon love upon love exponentially increases the opening of the heart, let's just say, to see more clearly. So that's my conclusion. You want to see clearer? Open your heart. What does opening the heart mean, Gabe? I don't know what that means. It sounds so abstract. Accept reality. Just accept it. Try not to think about it. Accept the moment as it is, even if it's just looking at the floor or on a heavy traffic or just walking and, you know, looking at nature or walking in the city, you know, looking at all the people shuffling around in their business. The moment contains love. Look for that. That's your creativity, to find love in the moment. It's up to you. I cannot tell you what love is in the moment. I can tell you what it is for me. You may not share it. You definitely won't feel it as I do. So why not seek it yourself? Do that. Once you find the love, then build upon that love more and more and more. That's it. We have summarized the whole law of one in that. This was a shorter than usual episode. We only had a couple more questions. We're definitely moving into session 95 now. We're almost 12 sessions away from the end, from the ending of this raw material. It's going to be over 4 years soon that I started this, and I'm pleased. I'm very pleased with the results. So if you're pleased as well, well, that's a great moment for me to invite you to either join the channel to support me or Patreon. I would greatly appreciate that. Description right here in wherever you're listening to this, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it is, you can support me there. And again, my gratitude. I'll definitely send you a text if you join Patreon, because I have the ability to do that in Patreon. So hope to see you there. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening, for being part of this. Session 94 is a wrap, and with nothing else to say, I'll see you in the first part of session 95. We'll probably talk about the significator of the mind, so we'll continue on this line. Take good care of yourself. See you soon.